Well, there's a lot of talk about inflation today, right? Yeah, we don't want to talk about that, do we? Well, several years ago, there was another round of inflation, and it seems that a local farmer had come to the conclusion, as inflation soared, that the local car dealer had profited quite a bit off of him, off of his need for vehicles, and adding on extra price as the options were listed on the cars. And what could the farmer do? Nothing. He had to just pay the price, right? If you want the car, you got to pay the price. Well, then one day the car dealer informed the farmer, "I'd like to buy a cow from you." And so the farmer thought it over and said, "Okay." And in the spirit of justice, the farmer attached the following list price on the cow to the cow. Basic cow, $500. Two-tone exterior, $45. Extra stomachs, $75. Product storage compartment, $60. Straw chopper, $120. Four spigots at $10 each, $40. Cowhide upholstery, $125. Dual horns, $15. Automatic fly swatter, $35. Fertilizer attachment, $185. Total cow package, $1,233. Pay up. That's right. We'll get even with him, right? If you want this cow, you got to pay for it. During my youth, one of the common things, the routines around our household, with my parents especially, was they would collect S&H green stamps. Do any of you remember those? Yeah, we all seem to have some relation to S&H green stamps, or some of us anyway. And it was the regular routine to have those stamps laying there and the booklets right next to them. And if we ran out of other things to do, what would we do? We'd paste those stamps in the books so that later on we could, Mom and Dad could take them down and redeem them at the store for the different items that they had been saving up for. Several stores and businesses use similar programs today. They're not called S&H Green Stamps, but how many of you have rewards cards or something else with the different stores? And if you spend enough money there, they'll give you a discount, a credit, or a bonus of some type. Yep, that still goes on. People trying to get you to spend more money so that you can redeem your coupons. The dictionary describes the process of redemption as to pay off, buying back, recovery, to convert to coin, or several other phrases. But one of the definitions really stands out, to deliver from sin. And this is the redemption factor that every person should want. We should all want to be delivered from sin. God states we need to be redeemed from our sin. One of the major themes of the Bible is God's desire to redeem all people. He wants everybody redeemed, but we all need it. And the question is, will we accept the redemption? Scripture says that every person needs redemption, but that we can't gain it on our own. And we can't have the help of another human being. However, God has provided various means through the ages that made redemption possible. In fact, the redemption God provides was finalized in one person, a Redeemer sent from God Himself. Now, last Sunday, we reviewed the story, the introduction of the Zacharias and Elizabeth, where God informed them that they would have a little boy, where they were told that this son would be the forerunner of the Messiah. We jumped to the day about 9 months, 10 months later, where the baby is born and Zacharias has his voice restored. His first words announce the arrival of God's Redeemer. Let's examine that redemption factor today. Before we read our text, would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your concern for every one of us. You want to redeem us. And Father, we thank you that the Redeemer has been provided, that we celebrate Jesus Christ. He is worthy. He is the Lamb who was slain in our behalf. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for John the Baptist. Thank you for his family, his parents. And we thank you for others who have gone before us in making sure that your will is being done in this world. We thank you for the good news of life in Jesus. Guide us, help us to understand better this factor of redeeming us out of your great love. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, some people ask the question, why do I need a Redeemer? Their view of life, their existence is, you're born, you live a few years, and then you die. What's the big deal? Everybody lives and then dies. So what else is there to life, right? Well, that's not the story of the Bible. That's not God's message. God created us and he wants us to be with him and to live in perfection. He wants us to have an eternal relationship with him. And so in order to have that, there is the necessity for redemption. So looking at our text, let's read this passage from Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 75. Now, this is just after Elizabeth has stated the baby's name will be John. And they said, well, nobody in your family has the name John. Why do you want to name that little baby John? Well, that's a crazy idea. And they turned to Zacharias, and Zacharias wrote down his name is John, because that's what Gabriel told him to name the baby, right? And as soon as that instant he writes his name is John, it verifies it, and immediately Zacharias, after 9 months of being mute, immediately gains his voice. What does he have to say? He doesn't say, boy, it's been a long time since I had a talk. That's not what's on his mind. He is filled with God's Spirit, and here's what he said. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. God has sent the Redeemer, and God has blessed us. He saved us so that we can serve him for how long? All our days. To serve him. People need redemption from sin and death. People need redemption from sin and death. The biggest problem of people is that everyone disobeys God in some form. Now, that disobedience is identified with several different words. It's called sin in Scripture. It's called debt, iniquity, or transgression, or some other terms. And we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, a summary of what the Old Testament tells us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All people. Doesn't matter how good we think a person is, they have disobeyed They have violated the rules of God in some way throughout their life. They are not perfect. They need redemption. Scripture describes all humanity as wandering sheep. Now, that is not a compliment. Sheep need a lot of attention. And that's why they have shepherds to take care of them. Again, the scripture talks about our best efforts to do good are described as filthy rags, as used good bath towels. Right? There's just no way that we can do enough right things in the eyes of God because we just don't really know how to do things right first time and every time. Compared to our Creator, we are doing filthy rags. God repeatedly warned people to not disobey His rules. It started in the Garden of Eden. He warned Adam and Eve, don't eat from this one tree. I'll give you all the trees in the garden. You can eat from any of those, but just do not eat from this one tree. And what did they do? What did you do when your mother told you not to do something? You tried it. You tried it. Didn't you? Come on, fess up. And there we have the story. The very first two people, Adam and Eve, don't eat from this tree. Of course, Satan was right in the middle of that, helping them, encouraging them, motivating them to disobey God. But the fact is, they disobey God in spite of His warning. And then He warned, you will surely die. How much did Adam and Eve know about death at that point? Nothing. They'd never experienced death. They had no idea what God was talking about. The basic idea, the concept in the Hebrew is you will be separated. They had no idea what separation was. They'd never been separated before. Separated how? How does that happen? Show me. No, you don't want to know. Show me. I want to know. No, you don't want to know. Well, we found out. And ever since, every human being has been disobeying God in spite of His multiple warnings throughout Scripture and personal conversations with people. They didn't listen, and still, we don't always listen. All people continue disobeying God in spite of the Scriptures. You have it memorized yet? It's been a challenge to get you guys to memorize just the books of the Bible, let alone God's Word. Are we concerned about God's thoughts? Do we want to do things His way? Or are we still just happy with doing it our way and just accepting whatever comes? God doesn't want us to just accept what our failures will result in. He's got a better plan, and He warns us to follow Him. God's perfection requires that sin be paid for by the offender or by a substitute who acts as a redeemer. Somebody must pay for disobedience. God allowed for animals to serve as temporary substitutes. God sacrificed the very first animals to provide clothes for Adam and Eve so that their nakedness would be covered. And we read on that people continued to practice by tradition and later by obeying the commands of the Mosaic law that animals needed to be sacrificed. Not just any animal, but clean animals or clean birds. Something had to pay the price. No human can fully pay the price for any person's sin. We can't even pay for our own sin. How does a dirty bucket of rags pay for imperfection? You have to have something perfect to redeem the imperfect. We read in Psalm chapter 49 these words, chapter 49, verses 7 through 10. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever, that he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. For he sees that even wise men die, the stupid and the senseless alike perish, and leave their wealth to others. How can you pay for somebody's life if you're going to die? How can they pay for your life if they're going to die? They don't have perfection to give in exchange for your life. So we're left in a terrible fix. The psalmist, David, wrote in Psalm 25, verse 22, that every Israelite needed redemption from all of their trouble. And then he went on and wrote in Psalm chapter 26, verse 11, that he personally needed redemption. David, the man after God's own heart, said, I'm lost unless I have a redeemer. He believed in a redeemer because God had promised one. But at this point, he would be lost. God began promising to send a redeemer at the very first sin. You're familiar with it. We've talked about it many times in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God promised that there would be one who would come and crush the head of the serpent. God knew the human weakness against Satan's deceptions and his lies before he even began the creation of the universe. After all, God knows how much? He knows everything. And he foreknew that we people would be tricked, that we would be deceived by Satan, that Adam and Eve would make that first choice, that you and I make the bad choices in our daily life, and the neighbors, they make their bad choices. God knows about that. He knows all of those things. And so God is concerned about us because we are made in whose image? In his image. And he wants us to have life. But God's love for us is so great that he promised a redeemer for all humanity. And scholars have counted it up, and throughout the Old Testament, there are about 1,000 times that God talks about his redeemer that he would send for us. Now, do you think God cares about us 1,000 times? He does. He cares about every human being. In Psalm 49, verse 15, it says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Amen? God will redeem me. Somehow, he will do it. And so now we have Zacharias, this mute priest, suddenly regaining his voice to proclaim that redemption has been accomplished. We've got redemption. How? How? Let's go to the next point. God provides redemption through himself. God provides redemption through himself. We've already reviewed how God was gracious by providing temporary substitute sacrifices for human sin. The Old Testament is full of all kinds of examples of temporary redeeming principles, practices. The book of Exodus records several ways that God redeemed Israel. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, we read that he redeemed Israel from slavery to Egypt. How did he do that? He gave them freedom. He led them out. He led them out by a mighty hand, defeating the powers of their gods with his power. To give them freedom to do what? To do whatever they wanted to do? No, freedom to follow him, that he would lead them to the land of Canaan, just as he had promised to Abraham centuries before. In chapter 13 of Exodus, and then chapter 34, God tells Israel that he purchased them by his power, with his power, for he is the owner of how many things? Everything. He owns everything, and he, by his power, took Israel out of slavery to give them freedom. But because these people were like filthy rags, they needed to be redeemed. And their unholy, dirty animals also needed to be redeemed. How did God treat that? Those people and those animals were redeemed by the sacrifices of clean animals in exchange for their lives. If you want to live, you need to sacrifice a lamb for this animal, for your mule, your donkey, your camel, etc., etc. If you want to live, you need to redeem your own life with a sacrifice of an animal, a clean animal, for your life. And so the story continues of sacrifice after sacrifice in redeeming the people and protecting them from God's wrath, because who owned them? God owned them. And in order to maintain that relationship with a holy God and an unholy people, they needed that continual redemption. God's law provided the means to redeem even family heritage. You remember the book of Ruth? The whole book of Ruth is about God's providing redemption for family members. The gracious story of God preserving the descendants of the family of Elimelech through Ruth. And what nationality was Ruth? She was a Moabite. Now, this is interesting because in the law, the Israelites weren't to have any relations with the Moabites. And yet we see grace, God accepting Ruth, who accepts and believes in the God of Israel, surrendering all of her past, all of her previous relationships, to serve the God of Naomi, the God of Israel. She marries Boaz. This is an interesting fact. Because God redeemed Ruth in this marriage with Boaz, who came along after that? King David. And then who came because of King David? The Redeemer himself, Jesus Christ. God's plan of redemption is full of grace, full of mercy for people, for you, for me. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 23 and 24, God redeemed Israel for himself as a people separate from the nations. God sheltered them. God provided for them. God blessed them. God protected them. God rescued Israel repeatedly, just as he had promised to do. And ultimately, through the nation of Israel, the blessing of the Redeemer would come for who? For all people. Just as God had promised to Abraham that through his descendants, the world would be blessed, God kept his promise. God gives us physical life, but he wants us more to have more than just 20, 30, 40, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever length your life is. Or is that the way God made us, just to live a few years? No, God wanted us to be like him. So God wanted us to have more than just physical life. He wants our soul to have life. Psalm 23 speaks about walking with God through this life, and then where? How does it end? With him forever. How is that possible when we die in this world? Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, God speaking says, "Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol?" Sheol is the Hebrew word for death. Should I ransom people from death? "Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting?" Who is more powerful, God or the grave? God is more powerful. He is all powerful. And he promises there through Hosea that he will overcome death. Zacharias, who has just prophesied, we read his prophecy. Zacharias was referring to the miracle baby in Mary's womb. He was fully aware of a situation that had occurred in his house 3 months earlier. You remember in the previous verses, Mary came to visit Elizabeth. Let's go and read that passage. Luke 1, starting verse 39. "Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord.'" So here we have Mary visiting Elizabeth, and Elizabeth immediately, by the Holy Spirit, recognizes that Mary is carrying who? A baby? No, not just any baby. It's the Lord, the Redeemer, the Savior. Now, while all this is going on, who else is in the house? Zacharias. He's not saying a word. He can't. He's mute. He's sitting in the house, biding his time, waiting for the day of the birth of John. But do you think Zacharias is stupid and doesn't see what's going on? He hears, and he sees the results of what happens with his wife. And his wife's nature is changed. And she praises the baby of Mary as the Lord. So when Zacharias regains his voice, he includes this thought that the Redeemer is here. He's still a baby, still in the womb, but he's here. I know because my wife testified of it. And God is fulfilling his plan. God had told Zacharias that his son would be the forerunner of the Messiah, of this Redeemer. And Zacharias is doing his math. 1 + 1 = 2. God is sending my son as a forerunner. Mary is carrying a miracle baby. He is the Redeemer, the Lord. God's countdown to life was in motion, and now the redemption factor was on his way. God's promise of eternity was true. Third point in my message today is God's redemption for every person is available. Every person can have this redemption. 6 months after John's birth, Mary gave birth to who? Jesus. But while he was still in the womb, Elizabeth had referred to him as her Lord. And then Zacharias called this Redeemer a horn of salvation in verse 69. Through the seed of Abraham, all nations were about to be blessed. All prophecies were about to be fulfilled regarding this coming Redeemer. How many prophecies? About 1,000. Now, how many of you can fulfill 1,000 prophecies when you're still a baby? God was at work. God tells us, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have what? Eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, the Redeemer. Jesus was the Lamb of God who would pay for all sin, the sin of humanity. And God identified the Redeemer to John in a special way. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, you see how God revealed the Redeemer to John. The sacrifice of Jesus purchased eternal redemption, while animal sacrifices were only temporarily cleansing the flesh. We are told that in Hebrews chapter 9. And we had that passage read this morning as our opening scripture. Those sacrifices of animals had to be continually repeated. But Jesus gave his perfect life on the cross how many times? Once for all humanity, because he is the final perfect sacrifice. A sinless life, he gave himself in our behalf so that we could have life. Will we believe in him? He invites us to. Hebrews chapter 10 explains how the animal sacrifices did not take away the sin, but were dependent upon the coming Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave himself as the final redeeming sacrifice for all of our sin. We celebrate that. We celebrate that through the Lord's Supper, remembering the cost, the price. It cost him his blood. It cost him his life. But he was perfect, and sin could not hold him down. And we celebrate that. He was buried, but then he conquered the chains of death by his own resurrection on the third day, just as he promised, just as the prophecies foretold. And he invites all people to have his life through him, but we must surrender ourselves to his instructions to receive his redemption. When we make Jesus our Lord, we can proclaim the very words of Zacharias. Think about that. Take to heart the words of Zacharias. Put your name in there. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited me. Visited me. And accomplished redemption for me. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for who? Me. In the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies, from my enemies, and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to me, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant me and them and you and everybody else that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days and forever. Thank God for his redeeming factor, Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for sending the Redeemer, just as you'd promised over and over again. Father, thank you for grace and mercy that allows us to come to know you. As we celebrate this Christmas season, Father, I pray that we will truly celebrate redemption through Jesus Christ, to keep the focus on Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would not have Christmas. Jesus is the central purpose and the motivation for celebrating Christmas. So as all the strange and weird stories go on, help us to keep our focus on Jesus, our Redeemer, and to serve you, to love you, and to serve and love people around us as you would want us to. Thank you for this day. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.